If you were to log on to the music streaming platform Deezer today and, just hit shuffle on their absolute newest uploads, almost half the songs you hear, 44% to be exact, they weren't created by humans.
Wow.
I mean, they were generated entirely by artificial intelligence.
It is a completely staggering data point, and it completely reframes how we need to think about the media we consume on a daily basis.
Welcome to another deep dive. Today we have a massive stack of updates curated from the Art Daily newsletter dated Monday, April 20, 2026.
Right, a really big week, huh?
Exactly. And our mission for you today is to basically map out the sweeping structural shifts happening across the entire landscape of AI media generation. We're looking at some shocking upsets in video modeling, a completely silent takeover in the audio space, and fundamentally new ways of collaborating with these systems.
Yeah, it's a lot to cover.
It is. So we are going to distill exactly what you need to know to keep your creative workflow sharp, and more importantly, help you cut through the information overload in a space that is currently moving at light speed.
It really is a critical moment for you to audit the tools you use. Because, what we were seeing in this specific set of sources isn't just a list of incremental software updates.
Right, it's much bigger than that.
Exactly. We are witnessing a fundamental change in the underlying architecture of synthetic media. We're moving from these isolated kind of parlor tricks into foundational industrial scale infrastructure.
Okay, let's unpack this. We really have to start at the absolute bleeding edge, which right now is video generation.
Oh, absolutely.
This seems to be where the most dramatic upsets are currently happening. Because according to a CNBC report from April 10th, the AI community has been completely obsessed with this massive mystery on the artificial analysis leaderboard.
Yeah, the blind tests.
Right. A brand new open source model called Happy Horse just dethroned ByteDance's Cedence 2.0 in blind user tests. And the big reveal that finally dropped, Happy Horse was created by Alibaba.
Which is wild.
Right. It is now officially the number one open source video generator available anywhere. It's like a generic no-name cola secretly entering a tasting competition and completely destroying the world's biggest beverage brand.
That's a great way to put it.
Why is it so significant that an open source model from Alibaba is winning blind tests against, established proprietary tech?
What's fascinating here is the absolute divergence we are now seeing in the market and how a blind user test exposes that. I mean, a blind test is the ultimate equalizer in machine learning.
Because nobody knows whose logo is on the box.
Exactly. When testers are evaluating video output side by side without knowing which company built which model, you completely strip away the brand bias. You aren't influenced by some slick Silicon Valley marketing campaign.
Right, you're just looking at the pixels.
You are judging purely on raw motion physics.
Right.
You're judging on temporal consistency, which, is the AI's ability to keep an object looking exactly the same from one frame to the next
Yep.
without it magically melting into something else.
Oh man, the melting hands and faces from last year.
Yes.
Exactly. We all remember that. So for an open source model like Happy Horse to beat a proprietary giant like Cedence 2.0 in that specific arena, well, it proved that the open source community is no longer just playing catch up.
But wait, I have to ask about the economics of that, because training a frontier video model costs what? Tens of millions of dollars in computing power?
Easily. Sometimes much more.
Right. So why would Alibaba, an e-commerce giant, spend that kind of capital to build a world-beating video model and then just give it away for free to anyone who wants to download it? Like, what is the incentive there?
Well, it is a classic strategy called commoditizing your compliment. Alibaba is, among other things, a massive cloud infrastructure provider.
Ah, okay.
The servers.
Yep. If the absolute best video model in the world is open source, developers and creative studios don't have to pay ByteDance or Google a monthly subscription fee. They can just download Happy Horse for free.
Right.
However, running a model that powerful requires massive enterprise-grade server farms, and Alibaba just happens to rent those out. That makes a lot of sense. So, by making the software free, they drastically increase the demand for their core product, which is the hardware and the cloud computing required to actually run it.
Exactly.
They aren't selling the gold, they are giving away the shovel, so you have to rent their land to dig.
That is the perfect analogy.
But if we look at the PCMag rankings from late March, the proprietary giants certainly aren't abandoning the field, right? Because Google's Veo 3.1 was named the best AI video generator of 2026 overall.
Right.
So Google is still holding the crown for the polished top-tier proprietary engine.
And that highlights the market divergence perfectly. You have Google offering Veo 3.1, which is this incredibly safe, corporate-ready powerhouse.
Safe meaning like brand safe.
Yeah, exactly. It likely integrates seamlessly into existing enterprise workflows with all the necessary guardrails. But then the same PCMag report notes that Grok is carving out a highly specific, very surprising niche for uncensored use cases.
Right, Grok capturing the unfiltered market. So if you're a studio building out a video pipeline this spring, you really can't just default to whatever base model you were using like 6 months ago.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I mean, you have VO 3.1 for the polished mainstream enterprise. You've got Happy Horse completely disrupting the foundation as a wildly capable open source option you can run yourself, and Grok capturing the users who need fewer guardrails for edgy or, you know, highly specific creative work.
So you really have to pick the right tool for the job.
Yes. The landscape is entirely segmented based on what you actually need the engine to accomplish.
So if Alibaba is democratizing top-tier video generation, and video is essentially just rapidly moving sequences of still images, you would think that standard static image generation is a completely solved problem by now.
You would think so.
Yeah, but looking at our next set of sources, they actually aren't. We seem to be hitting a wall.
We are indeed. The industry is moving away from the Wild West era of massive visual breakthroughs and entering a phase of intense microscopic refinement.
The LensGo AI blog published a comprehensive 2026 report on March 26th, and they state we are hitting real capability ceilings in image generation.
Yeah, that was a major takeaway.
They actually call this report required reading if you haven't audited your image stack since late 2025. But wait, if we're hitting capability ceilings, does that mean the AI wow factor is over and now we're just doing the boring plumbing?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is exactly the opposite of boring. It is maturation.
Okay, how so?
Well, a capability ceiling in machine learning simply means that the current architecture, specifically diffusion models, which create images by gradually removing static noise, has mostly tapped out its training data.
Oh, because they've already ingested everything.
Exactly. We have essentially fed these models the entire repository of high-quality visual data available on the internet. Therefore, just stacking more GPUs in a massive server farm isn't doubling the visual quality the way it did 2 years ago.
Right.
We are hitting the upper bounds of what the model can just magically guess for you based on a vague text prompt.
That brings to mind the endless re-rolling we all used to do. You type in, you know, a dog in a spacesuit, you hit generate, and then you just pull the slot machine lever 50 times, hoping the AI eventually spits out something usable.
Exactly. And users are exhausted by that slot machine dynamic. The magic has faded into utility.
They want it to just work.
Right. People no longer want the AI to guess what they mean. They want absolute granular control over their creative pipelines. They want to dictate the terms. And you can see this shift clearly in the updates happening within Comfy UI.
Comfy UI is the node-based interface that professionals use to wire together these generation pipelines, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, because Civitai just highlighted the release of the cyber-realistic SDXL Comfy UI workflow version 4.0 on April 16th. And the patch notes specifically say it stripped out all the bloat from previous versions, but kept vital tools like ControlNet.
So think of a node-based interface, like a musician wiring together a massive guitar pedal board.
Oh, okay.
2 years ago, people had 100 different pedals daisy-chained together, creating this incredibly bloated, unstable, noisy mess just to force the AI to make a specific image.
It was overly complicated.
Way too complicated. Now, the community is actively stripping that down. Cyber-realistic version 4.0 is a perfect example of this demand for clean, lean starting points.
Yeah.
And you mentioned they kept ControlNet. That is crucial.
Right. How does ControlNet actually function in that pared-down setup?
ControlNet basically acts like digital tracing paper.
Okay.
Instead of just giving the AI a text prompt and hoping for the best, ControlNet allows you to feel the AI an exact stick figure pose or like a specific architectural outline or a depth map, and it forces the AI to follow the exact structural blueprint.
Oh, wow. So it completely removes the guesswork.
Yes. You dictate the exact composition and the AI just renders the pixels.
So we are moving from prompting to directing, and it is not just the open source tinkerers demanding this stripped down control. On April 17th, Baidu released their ERNIE image model as a minimal Comfy UI workflow. They released both a base and a turbo variant, and they intentionally made them free of prompt enhancers. They're giving users a non-flux, non-SDXL path. Why does it matter that it's not flux or SDXL?
Because flux and SDXL have become the underlying base engines for almost everything in the open source image world. It creates a bit of a monoculture.
Ah, everything starts looking the same.
Exactly. Every image starts to have that same underlying algorithmic flavor, so to speak. Baidu intentionally providing a completely bare-bones workflow on a different architecture gives creators a true blank canvas.
So they can really customize it.
Yeah, it allows them to build their pipelines from scratch without fighting against the ingrained biases of the dominant models.
That makes total sense. You want a raw engine, not a car with the steering wheel already locked in one direction.
Precisely.
And speaking of locking things down, ByteDance's new C-Dream 4.5 is live for testing on OpenART right now, and the primary feedback emphasizes strict prompt adherence.
That's a huge selling point now.
Yeah, it is doing exactly what you tell it to do without hallucinating extra details you didn't ask for. But I think the most striking example of this new era of control comes from the Elser AI blog roundup on March 31st.
Ah, right, the anime generator tests.
Yes. They tested the 5 best free AI anime generators, and the entire focus of the review wasn't about the aesthetic beauty of the images. It was entirely focused on cracking one of the hardest problems in AI art: character consistency across different scenes.
Which is the holy grail for any kind of sequential storytelling.
Seriously.
I mean, if you are generating a comic book, a graphic novel, or a storyboard for a film, your protagonist cannot have blue eyes in panel 1, green eyes in panel 2, and a completely different jawline in panel 3.
Yeah, why has that been such a massive hurdle for so long?
Because, as we discussed with the Fusion models, they essentially have digital amnesia.
Oh, right.
Every single time you hit generate, the AI starts from complete randomness, literal static noise.
Yep.
It does not remember the specific jawline it drew for your hero 3 seconds ago.
It's starting from scratch every single time.
Exactly. To fix that, these new tools are locking down the underlying mathematical representation of the character. They force the AI to reference a specific persistent structural skeleton rather than rolling the dice every time you change the scene or the lighting.
The fact that free, budget-friendly anime tools in 2026 are finally delivering reliable character consistency proves the point entirely. The era of the random magic trick is over. We are firmly in the era of the director.
We really are.
But this brings us to a massive transition. Once you have perfectly refined video assets from Happy Horse and perfectly consistent image assets directed via Comfy UI, those files have to go somewhere. They don't just sit in isolated folders on your desktop anymore.
No, they have to be assembled. We move from the tools that generate the media to the platforms where this content actually lives and breathes.
Here's where it gets really interesting. On April 18th, Anthropic launched Claude Design. The sources specifically call this a direct challenge to platforms like Canva and Adobe Express.
It's a very aggressive move.
Yeah. It is a dedicated product for building polished visuals, prototypes, slide decks, and one-pagers right alongside Claude in a collaborative interface.
And this represents a massive leap from the standard chatbot interfaces we've grown accustomed to. For years, the workflow was, you know, you ask a bot a question, it types back an answer, maybe it generates an image, and then you download that image and drag it into PowerPoint.
Right, totally separate steps.
But with Claude Design, you aren't just having a text chat. You are cohabitating a digital workspace.
So the AI isn't just generating the asset. The AI is the application environment itself.
Precisely. You aren't opening Adobe Express to lay out the image the AI made. The AI is formatting the layout, adjusting the typography, and iterating the entire prototype in real time based on your feedback within the canvas.
Oh, wow.
It is real-time, side-by-side collaboration. The barrier between generation tool and publishing platform has completely dissolved.
That is a wild shift for visual design and corporate workflows. But as significant as that is, it actually pales in comparison to what is happening over in the audio sector. Which brings us back to the stat we opened the show with.
The Deezer data.
Yes. On April 20th, TechCrunch reported that Deezer released their platform data, showing that 44% of all songs uploaded daily to their platform are now AI generated.
This raises an important question about the fundamental infrastructure of media distribution. We have crossed a massive structural tipping point.
It's one thing to use Claude Design to generate a quick prototype slide for a Tuesday meeting. It is a completely different reality that almost half of all new music entering the world is synthetic.
Absolutely. If you are a professional in sound design, if you compose background music for YouTube channels, or if you work in audio branding, that Deezer statistic is not a passing trend you can ignore. It is your new reality.
Let's really think about the sheer scale of that, 44%. If you hit shuffle on the newly added playlist on a global music platform, practically every other track is machine-born.
It's hard to even wrap your head around.
How do we even conceptualize the volume of computation required to generate that much audio daily, let alone upload it, tag it, and distribute it globally?
Well, it requires an industrial-scale pipeline. AI has officially transitioned from being an isolated novelty tool into the foundational infrastructure of global media.
It really has.
It is no longer a separate niche category of content that people point at and say, look, an AI made this. It is the content pool.
Yeah.
And it completely rewrites the economics of music and media creation.
Because if an AI tool can generate a completely unique, royalty-free, emotionally resonant lo-fi track in 10 seconds, in 10 seconds, the financial value of generic background music drops to absolute zero.
Exactly. The technical barrier to creating a polished audio asset has disappeared. And when the ability to produce something is no longer scarce, the value shifts entirely away from production and toward taste, curation, and the human story behind the art.
Right.
People will still pay for the human connection, but the commodity tier of audio has been fully automated.
The pipelines are forever altered. You look at this entire stack of updates from Arid Daily, and the through line is undeniable. You have Alibaba's Happy Horse democratizing top-tier video and challenging the proprietary giants.
Yep.
You have comfy UI workflows and C-Dream 4.5 giving creators surgical precision over their images. You have Claude Design assembling those assets in real-time collaborative canvases.
Easy.
And you have platforms like Deezer absorbing millions of synthetic audio tracks every single day.
The tools are no longer being tested in labs. They're being deployed at scale, and they are actively running the platforms we interact with daily.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Whether you are a creative professional who suddenly realizes you need to audit your comfy UI stack to integrate Baidu's Ernie, or you are just a curious learner trying to understand why a massive cloud provider is giving away frontier video models for free, the takeaway is clear.
It certainly is.
The era of information overload and random generation is settling into an era of precision engineering. The tools have matured. They are ready to collaborate.
The focus for anyone interacting with these systems is no longer on if the AI can make something. We know it can.
Yeah, that question is answered.
The focus is entirely on how precisely you can guide it to make exactly what you envision and how you filter the resulting signal from the massive amount of noise.
Which leaves us with a fascinating and, frankly, heavy reality to sit with.
I think it leaves us with a rather profound question to consider as we wrap up. If 44% of audio uploads on platforms like Deezer are already AI-generated today, and if open-source video models are already winning blind visual tests against human-guided prompts, what happens to human culture when the vast majority of our daily media diet is entirely algorithmically generated?
Wow.
When the background music in our lives, the images we scroll past on our feeds, and the videos that entertain us are all synthetic, how will we define authenticity in art and media tomorrow? How will we recognize the human signal in an ocean of machine noise?
That is exactly the kind of question we need to be asking as these tools become our daily reality. We will leave you to mull that over. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the AR Daily updates. Keep exploring, keep questioning the tools you use, and we will catch you next time as we continue to map out this entirely new creative landscape.